Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 65, the first three verses. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead. If his word they still obey, and his testimonies heed. 1, 2, and 3 of 65. Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the book of Leviticus, thereof the 24th chapter. But first, let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You mention Leviticus chapter 24. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually, without the veil of the testimony, in the tabernacle of the congregation, shall Aaron order it from the evening unto the morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. And thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2/10 deals shall be in one cake. And thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 on a row upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place. For it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, by a perpetual statute. And the son of the Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel. And this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelemeth, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, Whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. And he that killeth any man shall surely be put to death. And he that killeth a beast shall make it good, beast for beast. And if a man cause a blemish in his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done to him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him again. And he that killeth a beast, he shall restore it, and he that killeth a man, he shall be put to death. He shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. And Moses spake to the children of Israel that they should bring forth him that had cursed out of the camp and stone him with stones. And the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask for the Lord's presence and his blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who hast created all things for one purpose, to honor, to glorify thy most holy and worthy name. And Lord, we beg thee then, as we have gathered together for the second time on thy day, a day that thou hast given, to set aside all other cares and concerns and responsibilities, and to gather in thy house to worship thee and to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And Lord, thou knowest each one here present and how we have come into thy house, whether we have truly come with a longing to worship thee, to praise thy name. And Lord, by nature, we are self-worshippers. We worship everything except with a desire to truly worship thee, our Creator, the only true Lord God of heaven and earth. Lord, we have forsaken thee. Thou hast made us perfect. Thou hast made us holy. Thou hast made us in thy image with one purpose, to live for thy honor, for thy glory, and to worship and to praise and to glorify thy name. And Lord, tonight, and as we have come into thy house, and when we will consider the third commandment, that we are not to take thy name in vain. O Lord, thou knowest all our sins also against this commandment, thy commandment. And Lord, thou knowest those who may also know thy law and yet live comfortably lost and guilty. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, tonight, as thou hast said that thou would pour out thy Holy Spirit, and that he would come and convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Oh, when we consider then the third commandment, the part of the holy law of God that thou hast given unto us, that the preaching of thy law may be to the convicting and convincing of sinners of their sins. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would open hearts. Thou who art that almighty God, and by nature we hear thy law. We are guilty, but we do not bow. We do not confess. We don't become guilty. We resist it. We don't want to become lost. We don't want to become unworthy of all thy blessings. We don't want to truly become worthy of eternal wrath. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then work mightily, irresistibly, by the power of the Holy Spirit. But thou knowest also those who have been made alive, born again, and who have been led and taught something of the wonders of thy grace, of that only hope of deliverance in and through thy precious, only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and who have a heart to long to worship, to praise thee, to obey thee, who have tasted something of thy mercies, and who have a heart, what shall I render unto the Lord? Oh, may they hear the way that they may express love unto thee, to also in this third commandment to honor, to glorify thy most holy and worthy name. Lord, wilt thou then bless also the preaching of thy word tonight to the conversion of sinners and to the edification of thy dear people? Oh, may they then also learn by thy grace and by thy Spirit to crucify the old man and to put on the new man. Oh, that they may fight against all sin and evil and long to live in righteousness, because thou art so worthy to be served, to be followed, to be obeyed. Lord, we beg and pray thee then, bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that thy dear people may grow in the grace and the knowledge of thy Son, but also that they may produce more fruits, that they may be a light in this dark world, that they may be the salt on this earth, and that it may be to thy honor, to thy glory. Lord, remember then the whole congregation and all the visitors. We all have the same needs. We are all born dead in sins and trespasses, totally depraved, unable, and also unwilling to seek thee, to save ourselves. Lord, it is impossible, but all things are possible with thee. Oh, wilt thou then give opening tonight to also preach the precious gospel of him who knew no sin, who never sinned against any of thy commandments, also against the third commandment, who lived holy, pure, of him whom thou could look above and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. O wilt thou make room in the hearts of sinners? O may the law be the schoolmaster to bring unto him to be justified by faith. Lord, remember those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for longing to be holy, but also to be righteous. O teach them and lead them to that one who said, I am thy righteousness. Thy righteousness is of me. O may they hear it tonight through thy word, and that they may flee unto him. O that they may be drawn unto him with the cords of love. Lord, turn, and we shall be turned. Draw, and we will run after thee. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We deserve none of thy blessings, and we need all those spiritual blessings that can only come from thee. And we stand before thee as we pray unto thee as a polluted, as a guilty, as an unworthy, as a wretched people. We have plunged ourselves into misery. It's our guilt, Lord. Oh, may it become our guilt. May sinners become sinners, lost sinners, guilty sinners, and that there may be room and opening to preach the precious gospel. Lord, give much prayer, much sighers and criers and beggars. Lord, bless thy word, open hearts, pour out water upon the thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Oh, we need that irresistible work of the Holy Spirit to renew sinners, but also to empty and strip sinners, that they may find no life in self, but that they may also hear of him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Lord, we lay the whole congregation before thee with all the cares and the needs for body and for soul. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would remember also the great need throughout the entire world of more labors in thy vineyard. O Lord, we beg and pray thee, as thou art the Lord of the harvest, wilt thou thrust out men, men who know of thy grace, wilt thou call them. O may they hear thy voice through thy word, and that they may surrender, and that they may know that the Lord is calling them, and that they may come forward. And Lord, that thou would open the way and open doors and gladden us with thy deeds. O Lord, thou knowest the great need on the mission fields throughout the world, but also in our beloved denomination. Lord, thou knowest those of thy servants who are getting older with cares and needs of the body and of the mind. And thou knowest so many congregations are vacant without an ambassador, without an under-shepherd. Oh, we pray, have mercy upon us. Lord, we have no rights. We cannot present anything unto thee, but we beg thee, do it for thy name's sake, and gladden us with thy deeds in our denomination, but also thou knowest the need in Bolivia, also in Peru. Lord, wilt thou provide also church workers. Lord, wilt thou thrust them out and give what is needed. Lord, it's thy kingdom. Thou art the king of the church. It's for thy name's sake, Lord. Have mercy then. May we beg and ask thee to remember the government that thou hast placed over us in this nation. Lord, thou knowest that we have left thee, that we have cast thee out of government, that we have made laws which may also call thy word and the truth of thy word hate crimes. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, wilt thou yet give freedom to fully proclaim thy word in all its truth and blessed, that sin may yet be called sin. Because when sin doesn't become sin, then there is no need, no room for the gospel, no need for a Savior. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, we confess that we sin against all thy commandments. And Lord, thou knowest that blood that cries out unto thee for vengeance, as there is no laws in this nation to protect life from the moment of conception until natural death. Lord, remember then the great sin of abortion and euthanasia. Oh, wilt thou convince of this is sin and give repentance and give laws to protect life? Oh, may we see it that each life is a creation of the Almighty God, from those little babes in the womb until natural death. Lord, we have also sinned against what thou hast instituted as marriage. Thou hast instituted between one man and one woman. Oh, wilt thou give then repentance, and also the confusion of male and female. Lord, thou hast created us male and female. Oh, give then repentance. Do not leave us to ourselves. Do not leave us to our own sinful, wicked foolishness. But may thy word yet be proclaimed, and that there may be a revival, a returning. Lord, we're unworthy. And even when we beg thee for it, we have so little hope. And so we must confess also in our prayers, in asking, our unbelief. Oh, wilt thou give then yet a looking unto thee, the Almighty God of heaven and earth, and thou who art that one can turn the hearts of kings like rivers of water. Lord, do not leave us then. Give a blessing upon thy word in this nation. Remember the whole world with all the wars, rumors of wars, all the cares and needs. Oh, wilt thou give peace? But may we beg thee especially, wilt thou then also give room for that true peace, that seeking peace with thee? Lord, bless thy word throughout the nations. We pray and ask thee to remember us in our marriages. Lord, give faithfulness between husbands and wives. Give love. Give that we may be helpmeets. Remember those who got married last week, but also those who hope to be married in this year. Remember them, help them, lead them, guide them. Remember us as parents. Oh, we beg thee, give God-fearing parents, fathers, mothers, mothers in Israel, and that fathers may be a prophet, a priest, and a king in their home, and that they may open the word, and that our homes may be little worship services, and that thy word may be blessed. Remember all single ones, all the sick and afflicted, all those who are mourning. Lord, remember each one in all the cares and the needs. And Lord, thou knowest also the need as a congregation. Thou knowest the need also considering the building, that we would desire to have room for all our families and our children to gather on thy day. Oh, we beg thee, if it is in thy will, that thou would move the hearts of those who also need to issue permission. Lord, thou hast said that we may bring all things unto thee. Oh, may we then look unto thee and beg thee, Lord, wilt thou provide in thy mercy? Remember the persecuted church. Uphold them. Care for them. And so, Lord, we lay these needs before thee. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come among us tonight and give a blessing on the preaching of thy precious word. And thou hast promised that it will never return unto thee void. Oh, may it be that many hearts are prepared, that they may be like good soil, that the seed sown may land in that open hearts, well-prepared soil, and that there may be those fruits of true repentance, but also of true saving faith. Lord, look upon us in mercy, then Come among us tonight and visit us. Lord, come. Give a little token of thy favor to unworthy sinners. Give correction to those who need to be corrected. Remember sheep who may be going astray. Lord, wilt thou draw them back? Remember those who need comfort. Oh, give a little comfort. And so, Lord, we beg thee, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to listen and to preach. Each time is a new time, and without thee, we can do nothing. Lord, we beg thee, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, for the salvation of sinners, for the edification of thy dear people. Wash and cleanse us, Lord, of all our many sins, we ask. In Jesus' name alone, amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 123, all three stanzas. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. Rise, help, and redeem us. Thy mercy we trust. And what follows? Psalter 123, all three stanzas. And the collections for this evening is the first for the church and the second for the Terre Haute. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Thank you. Dear congregation, when we were born, we all received a name. Children, your parents chose your name and gave you a name when you were born. For some of us, it bothers them if you don't correctly write their name or pronounce their name correctly. And I think we all desire that our name is respected. Why? Because it's part of our identity. But now think, how much infinitely greater is the name of God and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Our name does not reveal much about who we are. But God's name tells us, his names tells us a little something of who he is. God's names represents his being. God is his name. God is to be honored, hallowed, revered, glorified, loved, and praised. We read in Psalm 113, verse 3, from the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Dear friends, what comes out of our mouth reveals what is in our hearts. What comes out of our mouth shows the condition of your and my heart. And for example, blasphemy against the Almighty God, against his name, or against the name of his dear Son, reveals our depraved hearts. It reveals the enmity. It reveals the sinful condition of our hearts. But maybe you say, I've never done that act. I've never blasphemed the name of the Almighty God or of his Son, Jesus Christ. Good. God's common grace. But I have a question for you. When you hear the name of someone that you love, children of your mother, or your love of your husband, or of your wife, or someone else, and when you hear their name spoken in a bad way, you can be very upset because you love that person and you only want to hear good expressions about their name. But now I have a question. How do you feel? How do you feel when you hear God's name be taken in vain? How do you feel when you hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ blasphemed? I heard it on the plane when I was going to Waupun, a man behind me. And all I can say as I shuddered, all that came out of that man's mouth. And is not God's name and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ so much infinitely greater than any name, much more important, a name to be revered, to be honored, to be glorified? So when you hear the Lord's name being taken in vain, what do you do? Does it hurt? Does it hurt in your heart? How do you use God's name? How do you use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior? Is there love? Is there reverence? Is there awe in your heart for his name? By God's grace, by God's common grace, maybe you have never ever blasphemed or taken his name in vain. And yet, we break this commandment in so many ways. The third commandment. We use his name so many ways, sinful ways. And it's easy to look at others. It's easy to look at that man who is sitting behind me in that plane. But we need to look in our own hearts. We need to look in our own lives. We need to examine ourselves. We need to lay our hearts before the third commandment tonight. Examine our own hearts and lives. How do we use the name of God? Or how we do not use his name? So what you think and how you use the name of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ reveals, and how you feel about his name reveals something of your heart. How does the law begin? We hear it every Sunday, right? Children, teenagers, from Exodus 20, the elder reads it. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God. So congregation, when we hear the law, who is speaking? Whose name do we read? The Lord, Jehovah, the Almighty God. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to absolutely everyone. The Lord thy God that hath created thee, we read. Who made thee. He made thee. He's your creator. But who is he especially speaking to through his law? We hear of those that were delivered from bondage. He is especially speaking to his dear people, to his little lambs, his sheep, who he has delivered from the bondage of sin and Satan, who has renewed them. He's speaking to them who he sent his son for them, to be that substitute for them, to those whom the Lord Jesus Christ has sought and saved. And he has displayed his great love for them. On the cross, he has given everything for them. He has displayed his love to them. And now through the law, he is saying with much reverence, show your love to me. Sheep, lambs, show your love to me. How? In obedience. He said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Love my name. That's what we'll consider tonight. So tonight, with the Lord's help, we will consider the third commandment. And I pray when we consider the third commandment, and when that third commandment is preached, that sinners are convicted and convinced of their sin, become guilty and lost before God, and that they may, by the same work of the Spirit, seek that only Savior, to seek forgiveness in him. But do you know something in your life of the mercies of God, that he looked upon you in mercy for a wretch like you? Do you long to live for him? Do you long to even open your lips so that you may live in praise for him? Listen. Listen to the third commandment from Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And now we heard the elder read from Leviticus 24. And what did we read in that chapter? We read of someone who blasphemed the name of God. Now listen to the wrath of God against such sin of those who blaspheme his name. Let's read again Leviticus 24, verse 16. Leviticus 24, verse 16. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land. When he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. So we hear the wrath of God against this sin. But let's now turn to the Heidelberg Catechism, where we read a summary of the instruction on the third commandment from the Word of God, Lord's Day 36, questions and answers 99 and 100. And you can find it at the back of your Psalter on page 73. Question and answer 99. What is required in the third commandment? That we, not only by cursing or perjury, but also by rash swearing, must not profane or abuse the name of God, nor by silence or connivance be partakers of these horrible sins in others. And briefly, that we use the holy name of God, no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshipped by us, and be glorified in all our words and works. Question and answer 100. Is then the profaning of God's name by swearing and cursing so heinous a sin that his wrath is kindled against those who do not endeavor, as much as in them lies, to prevent and forbid such cursing and swearing? It undoubtedly is, for there is no sin greater or more provoking to God than the profaning of his name. And therefore he has commanded this sin to be punished with death. So with the Lord's help, we will consider the following theme with two thoughts. The third commandment, the Lord's holy name. That's our theme. The third commandment, the Lord's holy name. Two thoughts. First, the wrong use of his name. What is the wrong use of our name? What is sins that we commit? Maybe you don't even think about them. What's the wrong use of the holy name of God and of his Son? And second, the proper use of his name. How are we to properly use his name? And so with the Lord's help, the third commandment, the Lord's holy name. The wrong use of his name and the proper use of his name. So the Lord's holy name. The wrong use of his name, our first thought. Dear congregation, in the first commandment and in the second commandment, God commands us to only serve him and in his divine way. That's a summary of the first two commandments. But what does the Lord teach or require or command or instruct in the third commandment? The Lord now commands a deep reverence and awe, the utmost esteem for his name above all other names. So the Lord in the third commandment commands us to never ever to take his name in vain, to never abuse or to defile his holy name. Let's read the commandment again. Exodus 20 verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So how are we to understand? What is the Lord teaching us in this command? What does he mean about his name, God's name? Well, as I said, God's name is really God himself. And we all have a name, right? You're all baptized. You'll receive a name. Our parents, as I said in the beginning, has given us a name. That's to distinguish us apart from others, to identify us. But in the Bible, which we don't really understand today, the names in the Bible had meanings. It was to explain the nature or character of something or of someone. And we see this especially in one example of how the prophet Hosea, that God commanded him that when he had a daughter and when he had a son, to give them a specific name because it has a meaning. It was a message. It was a preaching through the name. So names have meaning. For example, Hosea the prophet had a daughter, and he was called to call that daughter Lorahuma, which means no mercy, no more mercy. What a message. That prophet with his daughter, when the people ask, what's the meaning of your daughter? Or what's the name? And he said her name. And what's the meaning? No more mercy. No more mercy, Israel, because you have profaned the name of God among the Gentiles with all your adultery and all your sins. No more mercy. Do you know something of that name in your own life that you deserve no mercy because of your sin? But then he had a son. And this son he had to call Lo-Ammi, which means what? Not my people. So no more mercy and not my people. I will not be your God. I will not have any more mercy. Not my people. And that's what sinners learn. A sin against this third commandment also, that I deserve wrath and it would only be mercy. What a wonder. Is there mercy for me? And because of my sin, that I'm outside, separated from that Almighty God, and it would be such a wonder that he would ever be my God, that I would belong unto him. And so we see with his examples that names in the Bible have significant meaning, profound meaning. Now, in the Bible, God has many names. Children, who gave God all those names? Many names. Who did? Did someone, and I say this with reverence, give names to God? No, God himself gave his own names. God's names reveal something of who he is, of his essence, of his being. So every name that God has given to himself reveals something of who he is. So what is one of the most profound names in the Bible of the Almighty God? A name that the Jews thought and considered too sacred, too holy to even take upon their lips. They only spelt it with four consonants. Jehovah. Jehovah. What a name. The Almighty. The Almighty, all-sufficient God of heaven and earth. The Creator, the covenant, faithful, keeping, Almighty God. Jehovah, what a name he gave to himself. And remember, children, teenagers, congregation, Moses was called to be a servant of God, and he was in the wilderness. And then he asked the Almighty God, what is thy name? Open your Bible. Let's read that together from Exodus chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Exodus 3, verse 14 and 15. Exodus 3, and I'll read a part from verse 13 also. The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. I am that I am, the all-sufficient, almighty, covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah. And who in the New Testament called himself by this same name? Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We read especially in the Gospel of John of those seven I Ams. And when a Jew heard this, they knew that was connected to what we read in Exodus. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the vine. I am the good shepherd. So that's one most glorious name of the Almighty God. And the Lord has given himself many names. Why? Because one name, even such a profound, great, holy name, is not enough to explain of who he is and his being. There could be an innumerable amount of names, and yet God still cannot be completely explained or revealed. But one name is so insufficient, and so the Lord has given himself other names. Listen to some of them. Adonai. It means Lord, Master. El Elon, which means the Most High God. El Shaddai, the Almighty One. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, our righteousness, and more. So the Lord gave himself names. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the mediator. How can he be known? What did Reverend Hellenbrook write? He said one thing he also may become to be known is by his names. And now think of the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Matthew 1 verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So what does the name the Lord Jesus mean? We can come to know that mediator through his name, through one of his names, Jesus. Jehovah saves, or in Jehovah is salvation. So in Jesus Christ, God reveals himself through his Son. He reveals himself as Jehovah, I am, and he reveals himself as that covenant, faithful God of heaven and of earth, the God of all grace. May I ask you? Has his name become precious to you? the name Jesus becomes precious to guilty sinners, sinners who also sin against this commandment. So what is the purpose that God, the Almighty God of heaven and earth, has given himself names? To reveal himself unto us. What a wonder that he even desires to do that to sinners, to rebels, to wretched ones. God desires, through the revelation of his name, that he may be known. That he may be known. It's the mercy of God that he reveals himself unto us, wretched sinners, that he gives himself names, that we may come to know him, but also that we may use his name to speak to him, that we may pray to him, and that we may speak to others using his name. So that's a little part about the name of God and of his Son. Now, what is the wrong use of his name? We heard the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. The name Jehovah, the name the Lord Jesus Christ, the name El Shaddai, El Elon, Jehovah Tsidkenu. We must not take those precious, most glorious names in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So what does it mean? Teenagers, older ones, what does it mean to take the name of the Lord in vain? Literally, the word vain means, it just means nothing. Literally, it means absolutely nothing. It's worthless. Vain means to consider something absolutely valueless, empty, or of no significance. So do not take the name of the Almighty God and of his Son in vain. And so we break this commandment when we use God's name just as common vocabulary in our sentences. Without any meaning, any reverence, any awe, without any thoughts. That can be in our songs. We sing songs with his name, and we just sing it maybe because we like the tune. But do we really think when we sing, including myself, when we take his holy name on our lips, is there reverence? Is there awe? Or also in our prayers, we use his name. Do we think, or do we just take it regularly? What were we created for, congregation? We created to worship and to glorify God and to revere his holy name every day, every moment of our whole life, to confess his name, to praise his name, to glorify his name, and not only by words, but also by deeds, to not take his name in vain. So that's a little something about the word taking his name in vain, just as something common or something not even important, just no value. But now open your Bible to Leviticus 19, because there we read a different word. Leviticus 19, verse 12. Leviticus 19, verse 12. And ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. So we heard a little something about taking his name in vain, but what does profane mean? Profane has a variety of meanings. It means to take away the distinction of something, to take away the distinction of what is holy and just make it ordinary. That's one of the meanings of profane. To take away any distinction of something so special, so holy, to have offered and just to make it ordinary, common, just like you use the name of your friend, you use the name of the Lord. But it also is profanity, is cursing, it's blaspheming, swearing. That's what this young man did that we read in Leviticus 24, for example, in 11, verse 11. He blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. That's an explanation of taking, using the name of the Lord in a profane way. What was the punishment for him? He had to be put to death. Who of us would be living today if we had the same law? Today, who of us would be living? because of our sin against the third commandment. The sin against this commandment was met with death. But maybe you're thinking, I don't think I've sinned against this commandment. I don't think I've ever sworn, I've ever profaned, blasphemed the name of God or of His Son. I never cursed or swore in God's name. I have not blasphemed the name of God. I haven't taken it in vain. I'm not guilty. I have profaned His name. Are you certain? Are you certain? We can also profane the name of God in other ways. Also, to make it so common, that it's not with awe and reverence. Do you use the name of God just in a casual manner, in your conversation, just in a flippant way, with no reverence, no awe, nothing? Profane also means to make morally impure. For example, sometimes you hear of a joke, and they use the name of God in the joke. How horrible. How absolutely wicked. We should absolutely shiver when we hear that. But do we? I hope not. Profane. Or I think of something when something goes wrong. For example, you spill some coffee and you hear, "Oh my," and you use the Lord's name. You hear someone's upset and you hear it. They're mad, they're angry, and suddenly they say the Savior's name. Doesn't that hurt? Is there pain? Or can you just say, well, they don't know better? Or do you need to speak to them and say, please, that name is so precious to me. Please don't do that. I would never say something so horrible and use your mother's name, that name that you just used of the Savior that's so precious to me. Don't use His name in vain. What about the thoughtless use of God's name? And just in prayer, praying, using His name without any awe, just from our lips, but not from our heart, with reverence and awe. Or the thoughtless repeating of God's name in a prayer just for a filler because you don't know what else to say. Is it wrong to repeat the Lord's name? No. But just to thoughtlessly use the name or the name of the Savior in a prayer without any reverence, any awe, just as fillers. But I think of Daniel's prayer. He repeated the Lord's name many times. Listen, Daniel 9, verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thy name's sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And so we heard, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Do not profane the name of the Lord or of His Son. So how many times? Think back. How many times have you broken this command? With singing without awe and reverence, or of prayer without awe and reverence? How do you pray? Do you just open your lips and quickly rush into prayer, into the presence of God, with any thought of who you are, a vile, sinful sinner, and you're going to open your sinful lips and you're going to take His name on your lips? Or is there awe, reverence, humility, bowing, and also faith, looking to Him with awe and reverence? When you pray, do your thoughts just wander? And you start to think of other things? And then you mention His name again? And then your thoughts wander? It's sinning against the third commandment. Think of what we read in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. What does that mean? Few. Does it mean that we should just have a couple words and that's it? No. That means that our words, instead of being empty, thoughtless, and careless, that those words would be with thought, with reverence. Reverence before the Almighty God, not just a rash rushing into prayer and speaking without any awe. But what about our deeds? We heard something about our words. Can we sin against the third commandment with our deeds? When God says, take not my name in vain, it refers to absolutely every detail in our whole life. Everything we say and everything we do. What do we read at the end of the question or the answer 99? That we use the holy name of God no otherwise than with fear and reverence, so that he may be rightly confessed and worshiped by us and glorified in all our words and works. It's not only with words. It's also with what we do, with our actions. We can cause God's name to be blasphemed. Congregation, your neighbors see you. They see you. They know you go to church. They know you go, and above you is the name of the Almighty God. Do you ever think of this? That what you do, how you treat them, or what you do, or those you do business with, that how you act, what you do, they see it, and they say, is that a Christian? Is that one who confesses? Is that the one who represents the Almighty God? Do you bring, maybe not with your words, but by your deeds, that you cause God's name to be blasphemed, to be profaned? I think of a child of God. I think even closer. Think of an elder, a deacon, or a pastor. I think when they sin, that's why we have, when they do gross sins, they need to be immediately removed from the office. It's because of God's name. We represent him. It's for his honor, for his glory. You know an example in the Bible that a dear child of God, by his sin, caused God's name to be blasphemed? David, a man after God's own heart. He committed adultery and he committed murder. He was responsible. What was the outcome? What was the result? It was about God's name. We read in 2 Samuel 12, verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. To blaspheme. And so, how we live. Not only how we speak, but what we do. Another example. Imagine if you're a soldier, and you're going to go to a foreign country. And there, in that country, how you live is going to be a representation of your country. And if you live badly, doing sinful, wicked deeds, if you use the Lord's name in vain, or if you do sinful deeds, it's representing your country. But if you behave good, it's another, a positive representative of your country. And now I think of different soldiers. No, not soldiers in a battle on this earth, literally, but the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, made soldiers, the sheep of the Good Shepherd. Every word that they speak in public and everything they do represents the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, how we need to live so careful for his name. Not for our name, not for the name of this church, but for his name. We need to crucify the old man. We need to kill sin in everything we do and say. Also in connection to this third commandment, we need to walk by the Spirit and by the grace as children of light, as salt on this earth. Why? Why? For his name. For his honor, for his glory. We read in 2 Timothy 2 verse 19, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Do not take the Lord's name in vain by any of your words or by any of your actions. How do you use the name of the Lord? Is there awe? Is there reverence? Or do you take it in vain? Do you profane the name of God? How do you reflect on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ with your life? What do you reflect with your deeds to his name? And so we're guilty. We're all guilty. Who of us can say, I have lived properly using the name of the Almighty God and of that Savior? We're all guilty. Also, his dear children, we're guilty. And what are we guilty? What is the wages of sin? The wages of sin is death. Sin, the punishment, is death. as we read in Leviticus 24, but also in Romans 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death. Are there sinners here tonight that are worthy because of their sin? They're worthy of death. Has this become a reality unto you? Oh, how we need not only renewing, but how we need the cleansing of the blood of Christ and the covering of his righteousness. Let us sing now from Psalter 15, stanzas 1 and 3, and we will do that standing. Psalter 15, stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, our Lord, thy glorious name, all thy wondrous works proclaim. In the heavens with radiant signs, evermore thy glory shines. Infant lips thou dost ordain, wrath and vengeance to restrain. Weakest means fulfill thy will, mighty enemies to still. Psalter 15, stanzas 1 and 3. heard a little something of the wrong use of his name. Now our second thought, the proper use of his name. But maybe you're thinking, there's so many ways to sin with my mouth against this commandment. I'll just keep silent. I won't open my mouth. Then at least I won't sin against this commandment. I won't take his name in vain. I won't profane his name. Is this correct? Is this why you were created, to just have your mouth absolutely closed and to never use the name of the Almighty God? Is that why he recreated you, sheep? Is that why he sought you, made you alive, that you would just be silent? That you wouldn't ever speak about his most glorious and holy and worthy name? Is God asking us to be silent in this command? Not at all. He is commanding us not to sin. But in this commandment, he's also commanding us to speak. Not just to be silent. Yes, to cut off all sin. But to confess and to profess his name for his honor, for his glory. So he commands us in this command, not only not to sin, but to praise and to glorify his most holy and worthy name. Is that your desire? Is that your desire? Is that your heart? Has the Lord renewed you? How can I serve the Lord, that good, almighty God of heaven and earth, that looked upon such an unworthy wretch as me, who sought me, who renewed me? Is your longing to praise him? How can you use his name properly? That's by living every day according to his commands. Also in this command. And Church of God, our hearts should be, did you hear it? Should be radiating with a longing to live for the honor and for the glory of his most holy, worthy name. That should be our life. That should be every moment. For example, as the psalmist says in Psalm 8, verse 1, O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Or as we read in Psalm 44, verse 8, in God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah, that should be the hearts of those recipients of God's grace. And they pray because their lips are so often closed, because their hearts can be so hard and cold again because of all their wretchedness and all their sin. They cry unto me, Lord, open thou my lips. Come upon this, blow upon this heart, stir it up again, that there may be that flowing out for thy name, for thy honor, for thy glory. Oh, we are to love, to respect, to have awe, to honor, to glorify, to confess the name, to come and hear what the Lord has done for me. No, not about me, but about him. To open our lips and to speak to our children of the wonderful works of God. Why? So that they may set their hope in God, for his honor, for his glory. It's not only how we speak, but it's also how we walk. It's our whole life. How are we to live according to this command? How are we to glorify God? By revering his name. That is to never take it in vain, to never profane it, but also to confess it, to speak of his name. That when you meet someone and to have an opportunity in creation, to speak of creation and speak of the Almighty God, to speak when you're with someone in the hospital that has gone through surgery and may live, to say it's the Lord's goodness and mercy, to exalt him. Or if you may know something of the mercy and the grace of the precious Savior, that you may speak about him, of his great abundant grace for such wretched sinners, that they may hear and glorify him. Oh, that all the nations may know thee, that all the nations may confess and glorify him. So it's all for him. Do not be silent. Silence is not a result. It's not a response to this command. No, our lips need to be opened for him. And when a sinner, by God's grace, is renewed, and the Lord teaches and gives a taste of the mercy, it will come out. It will come out of a broken heart to give glory, to praise Him. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits unto me? But when you don't taste it, when you don't know that, when you don't experience it, then of course, how can we speak about Him? But when we know a little something of His mercy and of His grace, there's times then your tongue is the pen of a ready writer, and you just want to speak about Him. Oh, that one that's fairer than all the children of men, altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000s, that Lamb of God, that Good Shepherd, that Savior of sinners. Oh, then at times you can't speak enough of Him, but other times it's all just smoke. Smoke. But that's because of our sin. So we need to confess, Lord, we're sinful. We sin against this commandment in so many ways. Sinning by doing sin, but also sinning by not doing what we should do, Church of God. But let's now go to someone else at the end of the sermon who lived never ever sinning, never ever sinning against this third commandment, who only confessed with his whole being his Father's name, who lived longing, it was his meat, his drink, every day to glorify his Father. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single thing he did and said was all for one purpose, for the glory of his Father. He was sinless. He was pure. He was holy. And he was put to death. Why? By being accused of blasphemy. He was accused of blasphemy that he called himself God. And he never did take the Lord's name in vain. But he went that way as a lamb to the slaughter with his mouth closed, willingly to be made sin who knew no sin. He was pure. He never sinned against this commandment. But he allowed himself to be that one whom his Father put all the iniquity of all the sheep, of all his lambs, of all his people, of all the sins also of this third commandment upon him. And he took it away. He took the wrath. He absorbed it all in himself. You see that precious Savior? You see that Lamb loaded with your sin? Do you see him? Oh, to see him, that he also took your sin, also the sin of this commandment. We need forgiveness of all the commandments. And he, as that substitute, he, as that Lamb of God, he also went that way to the cross. Where should we look to see the wrath of God against the third commandment? Where should we look to see the grace and the forgiveness also against this sin? There's only one place to look. And that's not at that young man who's being stoned to death in Leviticus 24. No, it's to go to the cross. Dare we see, may I say it, all the stones of God's wrath are cast upon him. He is beaten and afflicted and wounded. And he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Because sinners who sinned against the third commandment would never worthily experience forever forsaken. Oh, what wonders. Oh, to taste that. Then your heart will be stirred up. And you want to sing and you want to praise him for his great grace for such unworthy sinners. Oh, what wonders of his grace. Salvation is of God, also for transgressors of the third commandment. But there's coming a time, sheep, there's coming a time where you will never ever sin again. You will never sin in a sinful word or an action, taking the Lord's name in vain. And you will never ever again cease to praise his name. There will come a time that you will live in holiness, pure as he is holy, and you will live forever, rejoicing, praising, with awe, with reverence, with delight, forever glorifying his name. No more sin. That's heaven. That's the future of all the sheep. They will forever be praising his name. Them, and them alone, who've been convicted of this sin and who have confessed their sin and look forgiveness in Him and in Him alone. Let's end with a few verses from Psalm 113, stanzas or verses 1 through 3. Listen, praise ye the Lord. Praise, O you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Amen. Almighty, eternal, Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, Lord, may it be tonight by the power of the Holy Spirit that sinners are convicted of their sins and that they may truly with heart and mouth confess them, also the sins against the third commandment. But oh, may thy people also hear what they are commanded to do, to live for the honor, for the glory, to praise thy name. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, blow upon that life that thou hast given by the wind and the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be that burning desire in their hearts for the honor, for the glory of thy name, to confess thy name, to speak well of thy name, to glorify thy name, no, not only in songs, but also when we may speak to others. Lord, forgive us all of all our many sins against the third commandment. Remember us in this week. May we take thy word with us. May we meditate upon it. Remember us when we hope to meet as a consistory. Lord, guide us, lead us by thy word and spirit. May there be much prayer for those sinful elders, deacons, and also a under-shepherd. Lord, guide us, help us. What a responsibility to guide this flock. It's thy church, Lord. Help us then. Lord, may we acknowledge thee for this day in thy house to hear thy word. Be with us also when we hope to meet after this service to sing, give awe, reverence for thy name, and wilt thou by thy grace and by thy spirit give that there may be hearts that long to sing praises to thy name. We ask in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 306, the first three stanzas. 306, 1, 2, and 3. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore. And what follows, 306, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.